call it redecorating with an Afghan theme.
Today we have a new policy set by our new president. We have a new strategy, a new mission, and a new ambassador. I believe that new military leadership also is needed.
New. Defense Secretary Robert Gates freshens up the military command on U.S. forces in Afghanistan by appointing a new commander, surging and purging at the Pentagon. We're generally speaking on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Tuesday, May 12th. You get it, Farai? Generally speaking. Oh, fire me. I'm John Hockenberry, joined today by Farai Jadeja. Good morning, Farai.
Yes, never turn down a pun. Thanks, John. Coming up this morning, we talk about the sad killing of five U.S. servicemen in Iraq by another American soldier. We're also going to get the dish on the Cleveland Cavaliers' win last night and how that extends their playoff winning streak to 8 in a row. And it's graduation season. We talk about how much that college degree is worth. Those stories coming up, but first these headlines.
And in the headlines, some bad news from Baghdad this morning. Multiple suicide bombers have attacked government buildings in the city of Khost in eastern Afghanistan. Actually, that's not news from Baghdad. Obviously, a large American military base, Camp Salerno, is also located there. The number of people hurt is not yet known, and we'll get a map in here really quickly. The attack comes just a day after the U.S. announced that it's firing its top general in Afghanistan. Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal will take the place of General David McKiernan. Once he is confirmed by the Senate, McChrystal is considered a specialist in the kind of counterinsurgency special ops strategy the Obama administration plans to use more of in Afghanistan. Farai?
The president is going to be meeting with the commanding general of the multinational forces in Iraq, as well as the U.S. ambassador to the country. Now, that comes just a day after the U.S. soldier killed five other servicemen at a military base in Baghdad. And that killing appears to be the deadliest act of soldier-on-soldier violence among American forces since the U.S. invasion 6 years ago. We've also got the story of an alleged Nazi war criminal, John Demjanjuk. He arrived in Germany, and he's 89 years old, faces charges of being an accessory to the deaths of 29,000 people during the Holocaust. Demjanjuk settled in the U.S. in 1952. He denies he worked as a Nazi prison guard. He says he was captured by the Germans in Ukraine and kept as a prisoner of war. And in Sri Lanka, Tamil Tiger rebels are accusing government forces of shelling the only medical facility inside the conflict zone and killing at least 45 civilians. The government denies the charges, and the Red Cross says its aid workers aboard a ship off the north coast are unable to reach the wounded because of the situation on the ground.
So most Asian markets were down today. That's after China announced that its exports were down more than 20% last month from this time a year ago. The electronics manufacturer Hitachi in Japan announced the biggest loss recorded by a Japanese manufacturer so far, more than $8 billion for the past fiscal year. And there was a bad day on Wall Street. The S&P finished trading at 909, down nearly 2% on both indices. The Dow begins at 8419. Graduation time, we're thinking cost-benefit analysis. With the price of college tuition these days and the amount of indebtedness students get into to graduate from college, is it worth it? Is a college education worth it? Look at the debt in your bank account. Think about how you fared post-college. Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. College, is it worth it?
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
I'm Farai Jadeja, and we're going to turn to this very tragic story in Baghdad. Five U.S. service members were killed yesterday by a fellow soldier. The soldier was taken into custody, and the killings appear to be the single deadliest episode of soldier-on-soldier violence among U.S. troops since the invasion 6 years ago. Joining us from Baghdad is Ernesto Landaño. He's the Baghdad correspondent for The Washington Post. And Ernesto, the five servicemen were killed at a counseling center. And the initial speculation, of course, is that the shootings were stress-related. Do we have any more information about the shooting and the shooter?
We have very little information about the shooter. We know at this point that he is an Army sergeant, and he was at Camp Liberty, which is a large military base near the Baghdad International Airport. The shooting happened at approximately 2 p.m., and sources tell us it happened inside the combat stress clinic. Most U.S. military bases have combat stress clinics.
Now, do we know anything more about the victims, whether or not, for example, they were also I don't know if we know whether they were patients or being counseled or had a personal relationship to the shooter. Any sense of that?
At this point, we don't know what, if any, relationship there was between the gunman and the victims. There's two types of people who would ordinarily be at these clinics, people who are there seeking counseling and service members whose job it is to counsel others. And to run the clinic.
Here's a little bit. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just have a little bit of tape from Defense Secretary Robert Gates at a press briefing.
We're still in the process of gathering information on exactly what happened, but if the preliminary reports are confirmed, such a tragic loss of life at the hands of our own forces is a cause for great and urgent concern. And I can assure you that it will get this department's highest priority attention.
So, Ernesto, do we have any sense, aside from this sense of remorse and regret, how the military is dealing with this tragedy?
I think this is going to put a spotlight on the shortcomings of the mental health system in the military. In recent years, as service members have been coming to Iraq and into Afghanistan for lengthy, repeated tours, the stress at these deployments has really taken a toll on service members. And sometimes some of these invisible wounds don't really surface until months or years after incidents that were traumatic. I know that commanders and squad leaders on the ground are paying a lot of attention to this, and have attempted to ease the stigma associated with seeking mental health help. But clearly there are still there's still a lot of progress that needs to be made in this area, and I think it's safe to say that this incident is going to get those efforts a renewed sense of urgency.
Ernesto, is it safe to say, finally, that an incident of this kind really ripples through the ranks and that soldiers everywhere in theater are going to know about this, learn about this, and have a sense of vigilance and wariness?
Absolutely. I think I spoke to several service members who were stationed at the compound where this occurred yesterday. People were really, really shaken. They were really taken aback. I think one of the aspects of this that made it particularly unsettling was the fact that people feel pretty safe at the Victory Base compound, which includes Camp Liberty. This is sort of a city within a city. It's a place where you have large dining facility stores, fast food restaurants, and it is a place sort of far removed from the more dangerous parts of this country. One key thing to note about this case is that soldiers carry weapons on base pretty much all the time. And these weapons, when they're on base, generally should be unloaded. And when soldiers enter places like dining facilities or clinics, most of the time at the entrance, there's somebody checking to make sure that the weapon is unloaded to prevent an accidental shooting. In this case, based on what we know so far, it's hard to believe that this was an accidental shooting.
All right. Well, Ernesto, thanks so much for your time. That was Ernesto Londano, Baghdad correspondent for The Washington Post. John?
And stress is rippling throughout eastern Afghanistan. Multiple suicide bombers have attacked government buildings in eastern Afghanistan. The Associated Press is reporting or quoting an Interior Ministry spokesman by the name of Zamiri Bashari saying, we don't know about casualties, but another sign of the stress and the tension in the Afghanistan battlefield. And the Pentagon announced yesterday that it's replacing the top American commander in Afghanistan. Here's Defense Secretary Robert Gates, who made the announcement yesterday.
After consultation with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the commander of Central Command, and with the approval of the president, I have asked for the resignation of General David McKiernan. He will remain in command of both ISAF and U.S. forces Afghanistan until such time as relief can be nominated and confirmed.
Without getting too much into the acronyms there, Gates' choice to replace McKiernan is Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal. He's a former Special Operations Commander. Joining us now is retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner. Gardner has taught strategy and military operations at the National War College. Good morning, Colonel, and help me to understand what this means here.
It's a big deal. It's a major decision that reflects... let me say a couple historical things about this. Normally, you don't replace commanders during combat. One of the reasons you don't is because it has an effect on the troops. The troops will interpret this or question, is this because I'm not doing a good job? That's the first thing. The second thing is, normally commanders are replaced because their strategy is bad. In this case, he is being replaced because of the Washington-based strategy.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. He's been on for less than a year, right?
Yes. I think what we're seeing is the White House believes they have 2 years in Afghanistan to get things sorted out before they lose public support and European support. The real question is whether or not an insurgency can be fought under a timeline like that.
Well, I want to talk about the tension in the Pentagon between the sort of special ops insurgency gang and this kind of traditional army gang in a moment. But you know, Bob Gates is known as a kind of a quiet, incremental systems guy, friend of everyone in the Pentagon. Do you think this is out of character for him to do this? And maybe he was directed from the White House?
Well, I don't. The way he talked about it, it seems as if it were a collective decision.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to name everybody. That may be to push the blame around. But I think it reflects their concern that the Afghan strategy is not going to work. And they're trying to do everything they can. A fascinating article in the Canadian paper this morning. The commander of Canadian troops praised McKiernan for being the kind of person we needed in this kind of job. The significance of this is that this is the Americans who seem to be going their own way. You know, this is a NATO fight, but more and more it is a Washington-based fight, and that's going to mean we're going to lose support from the NATO allies as we go forward.
Well, Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the National War College, you're speaking to us from Washington, D.C. Just want to remind our listeners, and we're going to hold you into the next segment. But before we end this segment, you know, this is not the first time that the magic answer to battlefield problems is more special ops. Rumsfeld did that again and again in Iraq and even in the initial, invasion of Afghanistan. Is this the kind of thing that produces tension within the Pentagon?
I'm not sure it does. I think it's more. The strategy's clear. There was a White House review, a Central Command review, and the U.S. strategy has these three pillars: the military security part, making governance work, and then building development. So there's a long-range vision for Afghanistan. I think that's going to stay. I think they were looking not making the tension between special operations and regular, but they were looking for someone who probably had a can-do attitude when one ought to be cautious about can-do. This may be a can't-do, but they wanted someone who would say, I can do it.
So he's the exit strategy guy? That's a potential headline here.
Yeah, no, he's the guy who says, well, I think it'll work. McKiernan may have been cautious.
One
of the objectives they had was to do this militia-based strategy, which is to build not Afghan forces but militias in the smaller areas.
All right, well, we're going to talk about this nation-building idea when we come back. We're going to go away for just a moment. Retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner is with us. He's taught strategy and military operations at the National War College. We are talking about the replacement of General David McKiernan in Afghanistan and what that means for nation-building and the development of forces in Afghanistan. Colonel, stay with us.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.